Good afternoon, friends. This is Carolyn Evers. Just delighted to be here with you. And we have our co-host, Caroline Allen. Caroline.
Hello.
Welcome, dear.
How are you?
Oh, I'm just fine. What's the weather like at your place?
Well, right now it's beautiful, but windy and cold. But tomorrow we're supposed to be expecting a winter storm, so...
Yeah, weather's been very unpredictable. It's going to be some of the things that I'm going to get into on my show tomorrow. But let's talk.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because I asked the cherubim about all this stuff and got some interesting answers. And, of course, it ties into what we're talking about today. Now, for all of our good friends out there who listened to last week's show, we mentioned that we were going to be doing a show with Isis, who she was, and so forth. However, since that time, so much had happened with gas smells that were reported around the world, birds and animal dying, some of this very erratic weather. And so I thought that we would pay a little bit of our attention to these points, and then get back with you about Isis after we finish, because I do think that there is some extraordinary important information that we need to give to you. I would like to invite our listening audience who wish to call in for a reading or have some questions about their health and want to direct those to Caroline. Our number here in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, that number is 888-810-8322. And my dear friends, I can just say to you, don't wait until we're ready to get off the air for you to call in with your questions. They send them to me in my email because they were listening to the show and at the last minute thought, oh my, I've got to call about this. So don't do this. Call now. Speak to us. But meanwhile, we'll begin with our programmed work today. So, Caroline, we had some interesting things occur, and one of the things that we talked about were some of the things that you were seeing in the planet when you do your remote viewing, things that have come to your attention. Is there, we discussed this a little bit the last time, however, you didn't give everything that you were seeing because you felt like it might cause some fear. And what we decided was, yes, we're going to tell what we are seeing. And then we went to one of the masters, Jesus, and he gave us some interesting thoughts about earth changes and how we can mitigate this. And one of the things that he talks about that all of you know about out there in the audience, we are co-creators with all there is. And this is, you might say, the peace that we can bring to what is happening on this planet and turn it into what we want to see in our future. So with that, Caroline, let me ask you, what is there one thing perhaps that you want to talk about that you see happening underneath maybe the waves or the surface of the planet that seems to get your attention, that seems to come to mind right away when you start thinking about these changes?
Oh, goodness, that's a...
Is that hard?
That's difficult to just say one thing because...
Well, let's just start with one thing and we'll see how it goes.
Okay. Well, I thought it was very fascinating when on the Wednesday show we were talking about earth changes and the woman called in to tell us about the methane gas
yes.
leaks around the world, which you and I both were unaware of. I had heard that there was one, but I didn't know that there were some all over. And so one of the things I immediately started seeing was that the methane gas has to be released. If it gets out of the core of the earth, then it has to be released. And one of the ways that this has happened in the past is through volcanic explosions. And apparently something's going on that's causing more methane gas to be released around the world, and with it, methane gas is usually odorless and colorless. But in this case, there's some sulfur mixed in with the methane gas, and so you can smell the sulfur smell, which I'm sure most of the listeners know smells like rotten eggs or like Pierre LePew, the skunk.
Okay.
And that's, I guess that's one of the ways that they actually detected that that was happening. Is that your understanding, Carolyn?
Well, reading in the newspaper, there was an odor that people in New York talked about, and because there was this little bit of a sulfur smell, they thought it was a leak from the natural gas lines. And when I looked on the internet and did more research about it, it's just as you say that natural gas is for the most part odorless and colorless. But people who in the utilities who work with this, they add a little bit of sulfur to it. So that they can detect if there is a leak. And that's sort of like a little safety precaution. There is one place in Canada that brings forth some natural gas that they call sour gas that has a little bit of sulfur mixed in it, and the odor is more pronounced. But that's why there was the thought that this was a natural gas leak, is because they smelled the sulfur smell. But when the utilities companies checked, there was no leak. And as one of our listeners said, there were other all around the world was detecting this. And so what I had done is I started to do some research on the internet just to see all of the news stories. And yes, this in effect was true. There was a lot of news stories, and it was all around the world seemingly at around the same time. They were also finding birds that had fallen out of the sky, and in researching that, the people hadn't decided yet what caused the deaths of the birds, other than the information that I received is that it was the sulfur that was in the air, which is very deadly to human life and animal life. So it was more sulfur that was in the air that killed the birds.
Okay, interesting.
Now, when I did all this, I thought I would then go to the cherubim and ask them what was happening, because in one message they told me that there was magma making its way to the surface, and it was coming up. This was magma that was under the sea, underwater, and it was making its way up through the water and then through the river ways that came up to land. And I don't know that I read that message, but of course it made me even more curious, since this seemed to be such a wide area, and it seemed to have to do with the movement of magma. my question was, what was happening beneath the plate system? And there is what the cherubim have told me in that reading is that this has a connection with HAARP. And for those who might be more interested in how HAARP works, if you're not familiar with it, on my very first show, and this is archived, I had done a 15-minute interview with Jerry Smith, who wrote a book about HAARP, and I was interested in that because Rona Herman and a group of people working with Archangel Michael went to Yellowstone. We had done several shows on Yellowstone that there were a lot of pressures building up under Yellowstone, and there was a possibility that there was going to be some destructive action there. And so this group went, did meditations, did work with Archangel Michael to help release some of that pressure that was under Yellowstone, which they did. So I had become very interested in HAARP because the information that I was getting is that what was building up in Yellowstone had to do with HAARP. So for those of you who want, it's not that long. It's probably a 15-minute interview, but we asked a lot of pointed questions about how HAARP works, how electricity is sent, and this is a great deal of it, sent up to the upper levels of what they call the troposphere, and it bounces off and then comes back down to Earth. And there's a lot of reasons why this is being done. It is giving them a picture of what is under the earth, and there's many reasons why they're doing that. But
and what does HAARP stand for now? Do you remember?
No, I don't. It's abbreviations of what the words is. It's a high frequency, but I can't recall what HAARP stands for. Jerry mentions it in his it's HAARP, and Jerry mentions it exactly what it stands for. I don't recall.
They're not two A's? H-A-A?
Yes, it's H-A-R-P. What did I do? Say one?
Well, you said one, but I was thinking that there were
no,
two.
No, it is.
A's.
I'm sorry. It's
okay.
Two. It's H-A-A-R-P.
Okay.
And so these this electricity waves bounce back into the planet, and it does go inside the planet, and they don't know for sure just how far in it goes, but we do know that it goes inside of the Earth. And what I got in this reading is that, of course, there is the core in the very bottom, then there's the mantle, and then there is the top layers, and they're where the lava in the core is liquid, it cools off and it goes up the layers where that actually becomes a solid. And what the cherubim explain is that there is a protective veil between the molten core and the level where the core starts to cool, what we are calling the mantle. And that this veil has been compromised because of these beams that are going into the core, and the breach is in more than one place, and that this breach is in many places, and the gases are surfacing. And how they explain that is the area where they're sending off the electrical currents is stationary, but the Earth moves, and so as these currents go up into the troposphere, the planet moves, and when they bounce back, they're not coming back to the same place, of course, because the planet has moved on its axis, and so there are different places where, after the waves bounce back into the surface, they're hitting a different spot, and so that this veil of protection is pierced in different places. So there, this is what the cherubim are telling me in this reading, is what has happened. But my question then was, if this is the case, and there is gases and magma coming up, is this going to mean that there will be volcanic activity that will be encouraged by this? And they said that this can be ameliorated depending upon human consciousness, that what's already in the volcanic tubes, they can't send that back. And they went on to explain how the continents are connected by tubes underneath the water, which I found very fascinating. And I've gone to some site. There's a good site in Berkeley that shows how all many years ago all of the landmass was one landmass and how it broke up eventually and moved apart from one another. But apparently there are what our scientists aren't too aware of is that even though the landmasses have moved away from one another, there is still a connection under the seabeds between the different continents. And so they are tubes that can fill up with magma. And so that some of the magma that has moved up into the tubes, they can't send it back. But if we meditate and it is our consciousness that we can reverse these probabilities because the greater events have not entered the doorway of probabilities. And we talked about that when the tsunami occurred. And it was at that time, right after that first tsunami, Archangel Michael had asked me to send out information about everyone meditating at one time because there was to be another one. And there was another earthquake, but there was not a tsunami following that. And I really do attribute that to the fact that people did heed the message. People did envision the planet to be in harmony and peace and soothe that. And so, in effect, Archangel Michael discussed the doorway, that you have possibilities. And depending upon actions, depending upon things that happen on the planet, there are lines of possibilities. And how much energy is put behind that possibility and how many people are encouraged to think along a certain line, there comes to a point where there is a doorway to manifestation. If these possibilities can be changed before they come through that doorway of manifestation, it doesn't have to occur. It can dissipate. Now, if and this is something that we do with events in our own lives. If we have a goal and we pursue it and we keep pushing it with our energy, ultimately it's going to materialize. We're going to bring it into our lives, and it is the same way with planets. And so what we are being asked to do is to meditate, and I'll discuss that. So what do you think about that, Caroline?
About the meditation?
No, just about this whole thing of what's happening.
I'm absolutely convinced that if we're going to lessen some of the earth changes, soften them, if you will, that we're all going to have to take an active part in praying for peace and easy, balanced change. We know that Mother Earth is going to change some because that is a constant. You know, one of the things that's constant is that everything changes. So we know there have to be some changes, but if they can be softened to the point where they don't, they're not devastating changes to certain areas or, you know, parts of the world, then we've really done a magnificent job of showing that we are capable of co-creating.
Indeed. And the spiritual hierarchy have told me many times that what they are trying to have occur is to bring these changes in as much of an orderly, peaceful, balanced way as possible. And one of the reasons for the changes is that at the fall of Atlantis, that the axis changed so that there wasn't an alignment to our sun and to the central sun. And this is where things need to go back to, that the planet has to be aligned again. The axis needs to be aligned again with the sun, to the central sun, to be aligned with Source in the center of the cosmos. And it is that alignment that is going to be bringing in great spiritual advancements. It is the reason, one of the reasons why the axis needs to be changed. The start of it was at the tsunami, and the spiritual hierarchy are telling me that they are expecting other alignments, but they want our co-creation to bring this in as peacefully as possible. The world is on the brink of a great spiritual alignment and a gargantuan jump in spiritual understanding and abilities. We live in an exciting time, Caroline.
Yes, we certainly do.
So
I love it.
Well, that's why we decided to come, huh?
Yeah, that's why we're still here.
Absolutely. For those who might want to call in with their thoughts or questions, it's 877-876-5227. We welcome your calls.
And we'd love to know if other people have been getting messages about or pictures of where things are changing in the Earth and how they're changing. In particular, since we are just two little people down here getting these, we'd like to know if other folks are getting some of the same information or even different information that would be helpful for all of us to be focusing our energies towards.
Absolutely. Now, this is something that Jesus gave for all of us to work with. And he says, "We've come today and we ask for your thoughts to be focused upon your planet with the purpose of soothing pending volcanic activity. We bring this to your attention as it is human thought and dedication that can change events that gather in your near future. As you know, you are all co-creators with all there is. And this is focused through your higher mind, which in turn registers with your monad. Thought and intention are very deliberate and are very powerful, especially if done in unison. We are not expecting anything formalized, but rather each of you can do this within your leisure time when you have settled your thoughts and are available to focus them upon your Mother Earth. As it has been delivered by the cherubim, there has been a breach near the core, and there is magma and gases surfacing, and that was the reason for the worldwide events of gas smells and bird and animal death, as there is a part of the gases that holds sulfur, and that is deadly to all life. It is your love, and it is your faith that you can do this that will prevail. The mother whose surface you walk upon is connected to each of you, and she is your life. Hold her in your eye of love and call down your creative abilities and see the world first in a peaceful state with all hatreds transmuted so that only love prevails. Secondly, know that you are a part of this state of love. The planet has a consciousness, and your love is bonded with the love of the planet, and together you are one. This must be a state of mind and not an occasional thought when we remind you of the necessity to think love. This should be an everyday affair where this is your first and last thought. If the surface is to stay calm, your calming influence is needed and now. And this is from Jesus. And I was particularly touched with this thought of thinking peace, that all hatred is transmuted and only love prevails. I was thinking of the Middle East because they have said that that is one of the things that is holding us back, this hatred that is not being transmuted. And the second, know that you are part of the state of love. I just thought that was so beautiful.
Oh, I do too. That's awesome, and it's awesome to know the order in which we are to think of these things happening or being, I guess is a better word. I think that's really fantastic.
Yes, yeah, so see peace, hatred transmuted, only love prevails. Know that we're a part of the love. The planet has a consciousness, and our love is bonded with the love of the planet, and together you are one. That this must be a state of mind and not an occasional thought when we remind you of the necessity to think love. This should be an everyday affair where this is your first and last thought. If the surface is to stay calm, your calming influence is needed and now. And you know, the state of love that he is asking us to be a part of, it's good for us also to work on that. Yes, it's good for the planet. It's good for peace. It's good for balance. And it's also good for us. Caroline, are there moments when you feel this love encompassing you that we're talking about?
Oh, certainly.
It wasn't a trick question. I knew that
you feel that
as I feel that.
I really feel mine. It's never predictable. Mm-hmm. It's not something that I know is going to happen. Sometimes it's seeing a smile on the face of one of my sleeping grandchildren.
They're beautiful when they're sleeping, aren't they?
I know. Sometimes it's seeing the bud on a bush or a shrub as spring's coming, even as it did 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and always when I am finished with a healing for someone, not the couple of minute healings that I do occasionally on the radio, but when I do a full healing, then I just feel this unity with God and this great, great joy that is difficult to really explain.
You're going in the same direction that I was going to go in. I think what you're talking about, what you're feeling, is what I feel too, that when I feel so connected to God and the world in love, it is because I entered into this state of joy. And the joy can be triggered by some everyday thing, like a child sleeping, a beautiful flower, watching somebody work, like cutting grass, or
somebody other than me.
Right, somebody else other than me. It is this joy that bubbles up, that takes you adrift on this wave of love. And there's a part of you that is carried to a higher dimension. So when you feel this. You know you're existing on a higher dimension. Your body is here, but you know that there is a part of you that has somehow lifted up into a higher dimension, and it is this love, this connection to this love that you and I are talking about, and it even increases your joy more, so that I think you could describe that intensified joy as bliss or something close to it.
I would agree with that, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, because there have been times when I thought, oh, I wish I could just jump up in the air and kick my heels together and just sort of fly away
mm-hmm.
on the wings of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's not a constant state of beingness, but it is a very frequent way of being that I find through just being here and also through my work.
Well, you know, that's true about being here can take you to these states, but you know, my feeling about that is it does take some work and energy from this point of view, is that it's very difficult to be in this state of love, to feel this joy, if you allow negative emotions to step into your life. And it's very difficult today in the society that we live in. It is, our society is fast paced. We get into a car, we drive on the beltway, there's aggressive drivers that can trigger imbalance because you gotta swerve away from them, and so it puts stress in your life. And if you don't mind, Caroline, I would like to address this, and perhaps you would agree with this, that I think that stress is one of the enemies of peace and balance in your life to bring this joy. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that to a certain extent. I do think that there is a place for stress. I do think that putting some stress on yourself to be or to do certain things sometimes motivates you, but not when it becomes a life that's full of stress. That's not joyful whatsoever.
No, a life of stress and anxiety, and what I feel like I'm seeing out in the world is more and more of that. There are people who are in debt, who are worrying about paying bills, who have stress and worry on the job. And I think if you find yourself in that state of mind, it takes a real programmed incentive to work on getting back to that peace of mind. Anger is a choice to a certain extent. And I say that because I had something happen today where I had, and I'm not going to get into it other than I recognized I had a choice to be angry or not to be angry. And I chose not to be angry. And as it turned out, I realized after the event passed, there would have been no reason for me to be angry because what I thought was happening wasn't happening. I was anticipating something negative that really wasn't negative, and my choice not to go into anger and to stay in peace prevailed. And I'm not one given into anger a lot, but there are some things that that prick my wings.
Okay.
And I had an event like that today. It was really pricking my wings.
Oh, gee.
And when I decided I wasn't going to be angry, stayed in peace, and then I realized after the whole event was over that my thoughts were negative and they really weren't true at all. So I worked at staying in a place of peace, and it worked out very well.
And I find that personally, that being able to say to myself, now there's a reason why I'm here. And, you know, a reason why this whole situation is coming up before me. So let me look for the gift that's in it and see if there is a gift that I can present to the situation that changes it or, you know, makes it not stressful or not full of anger and impatience or that sort of thing.
That's a beautiful way of putting it, Caroline. We have choices in all of these things, and I like that that attitude that when we have a challenge in our life, what is the gift behind that challenge?
Well, I do want to give credit for that way of thinking to Neil Donald Walsh, reading his, I think it's his second book, Conversations with God. There's a chapter 13 that talks about how you can be a gift in every situation. And I have to admit, I have read it dozens and dozens and dozens of times. And I found it works if I find myself in a situation where I'm fixing something for dinner and I'm out of one of the key ingredients and I have to stop and run to the grocery store and I just want to get one thing and get out of there. And there are 15 people in the one express lane, you know, and you just think, now, why am I being slowed down here? You know, if I can approach it that way, why am I being slowed down and not allowed to just whisk through the store? But there's got to be a reason. Is it something that I can say to the person behind me or the person in front of me? Or is it something even as life changing as keeping me from being in the middle of an accident somewhere on the road?
Yes.
I mean, sometimes you don't really get what the gift is in the immediate circumstance, but I usually choose to stand there and say, okay, there's a gift in this, and you know, I'm just going to slow down and be patient and know that I'm in the right place at the right time and there's a reason why I'm here and I don't have to know what the reason is all the time.
I have to admit for myself, Caroline, looking at my gifts, my faults, my graces, one of my faults has to be to learn to be more patient. And I have decided to be more patient. But I want it now.
Don't we all? I thought I was the most patient person in the world, and I've had people say that to me, that you are so patient. I've always admired how patient you are. Well, I don't think I'm the most patient person in the world, but 18 years ago, my daughter gave me a Cairn Terrier. I found out how much more about patience I had to learn. I thought, anybody gives you a Scottish dog, believe me, you need to learn more about patience.
So these Scottish dogs try your patience, huh?
They try your patience, no doubt about it. They definitely teach you an awful lot that you thought you already knew, but obviously weren't practicing.
So perhaps what we're saying is if we can practice patience, then perhaps we can find some gifts in it that we didn't realize was there.
Exactly, exactly. And I'll tell you something that happened to me. How long ago has it been? Probably 6 or 7 years ago. My daughter lives in Colorado, and I have always just gotten in the car and driven to Colorado, and it's a 3-day trip. And I usually say somewhere in the middle of Kansas, Salinas, I can't remember which way they pronounce it, is where I usually stay the second day. And I'm 2/3 away across Kansas, and then I know, you know, that I'm almost there. And I had done that. I had stopped and found a place to spend the night and spent the night and got up and went to a service station now. Went to a service station instead of a quick gas place. Had them check the oil and the antifreeze and the, you know, hoses and all this sort of stuff. Got gas and got on the road. And about an hour down the road, my car just stopped. It just quit running. I mean,
were you by yourself?
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's worse.
I was by myself. I did have a cell phone, but I was by myself. I mean, the car just totally cut off on the interstate, just totally cut off.
Mm.
And I was lucky enough to have realized it in time to turn the wheel and get myself off the interstate. But I sat there going, okay, now why am I here? You know, and I thought, well,
because the engine cut out.
Yeah, well, and I knew I had gas. And I knew that I had had everything, you know, that you normally check at a regular service station, which is few and far between anymore. But I thought, what in the world is going on? So I picked up the phone and I called AAA and went through that process, which, you know, they of course wanted to know where I was. And I said, have you ever been to Kansas? I said, you don't know where you are in Kansas. I said, everything looks exactly alike, and there are very few signs and very few roads that even cross the interstate. There's nothing out here. All I can do is tell you that I have been driving about 75 miles an hour. I've been on the road for an hour, so I should be 75 miles west of Salinas or Salinas, Kansas. Now, I have no idea where that puts me. But, you know, I got out my map and I'm looking at it and trying to figure, you know, without any sort of measuring tool about where that would put me. And I told this lady who was very impatient with me. But anyway, she got my number and said she'd call me back and she would call and see if she could get somebody to come for me. And I called my daughter to tell her, well, I'm on the side of the road somewhere in Kansas.
Mm.
And I'll be late getting there. Well, in a little bit, here comes this tow truck. And he was coming east and I was going west. And he stopped and he waved. And then he called me and he said, is that you across the road in the blue Lumina van? And I said, yes. And he said, do not open your door to anybody else. I'll be there. But it'll be 15 miles before I can cross over. So he came and he put my car up on the back of his truck and took me to his service station and found out my alternator was gone.
Mm.
And he said, I've got 15 minutes to get to the auto parts store before it closes. I'm out of here. He left me sitting there all by myself and went and got a new alternator and came back. And 3 hours later, I was back on the road again. And I drove up the road about another hour, got almost to the Colorado-Kansas state line, and traffic was backed up for about 5 miles. There had been a terrible wreck. By the time I got up to the wreck, I rolled my window down, and I asked the police officer how long it had been since the wreck had happened, and he said, about 3 hours.
Mm.
And there are 15 cars involved and at least 6 people dead.
Oh, my goodness.
And I knew why my car had stopped.
Mm.
In the middle of the road, and I was in a little town in western Kansas all by myself and not out there on the highway.
Golly.
And I just, you know, I was just like going, thank you, God. Thank you so much for taking care of me. Thank you for making sure I was off the highway. I would have been there at about the time the wreck happened.
What I would like to do, Caroline, is let's throw a question out to the audience and see if anybody out there has a story where they were involved in some miracle, because that surely was a miracle.
Oh, it was.
Where,
absolutely.
Where the heavenly sources had taken care of you. Give us a call. We'd like to hear that. 877-876-5227. And if there are miracles in Canada, you can call us 888-810-8322.
And, you know, that takes us back to the meditation and prayer about the planet. It may seem like a sort of obtuse way to get there, but if we all accept that we are children of God and that our co-creating with God in our intention to help heal the planet and keep the planet balanced, then think what we can do to change the whole situation.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's no telling how far we can go with our peace and love.
Because if we can be peace and love, and we can join with other people who are peace and love, it makes a tremendous wave that I think goes around the entire planet.
Oh, yes, and I think, you know, through our resources, through our listeners, as well as through their emails, they can help us send the message around the world that we do need to be focusing on peace and love and understanding that we can help to change the whole world by doing that.
I agree with that, Caroline, and something that I would like to add to that is nobody is a little person. We are all big and powerful. And I say this because sometimes I think people feel that they can't make a change in the world, that they can't make a difference. And I love these stories where one person decided that that wasn't true and they did make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. So do I.
And we are very powerful, and we need to walk into our mastery, because we are all masters if we walk into it and we use it. And it's because there are pieces that we call our souls that came from Source. We are little particles of what Source sent forth. I've told that story many times on my shows, that how the cherubim showed that to me when God created the souls. We are little particles of what Source sent forth from itself. And sometimes we forget that, I think.
Oh, I think, yes, a lot of times we forget that.
Mm-hmm. And so we're part of God.
Mm-hmm.
There is a part of God within us. We call it a soul. And so we do have that power that we can use. So if there's anybody out there with a miracle in their life, give us a call, 877-876-5227. So in a sense, we might be talking about miracles here, where we look out on the world and there are possibilities and dangers, things that could happen that would bring a lot of sorrow into the world. And so we say, let us use those tools where we are not a victim, where we can participate in this beautiful creation. And maybe if we talk about a miracle or two in our lives, it might remind us that we do have a connection to God. We do have a connection to the spiritual realm, and let us think about it over this next hour that we are going to be talking to you. And if there is someone in the audience who would like to have a healing from Caroline, or want us to go to the Akashic Records and ask the cherubim about a question, call us 877-876-5227.
Okay, and Carolyn, I think you need to tell people how to get in touch with you.
With me?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, with you. So you can do an Akashic Record reading for them if they are so inclined.
That would be a wonderful idea. I do Akashic readings. Also, I have several books that have been given to me by masters from the other side, which are all positively beautiful. And there is also a course which I called Journey to the Other Side that is beautiful. This is information that I really believe is new information. Mother Mary talks about evolution on Earth, how the bodies were transformed. Metatron has, he participates in it. Jesus, Archangel Michael, these Isis, they are just beautiful stories. And that's called Journey to the Other Side. All of this can be found at my website, CarolynEvers.com. And Carolyn is spelled CarolynEvers.com. So I think we have perhaps someone who decided to ask us a question. Who's on the line? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, how are you?
Can
who's
you hear
calling?
Me?
Yes.
I can't hear y'all.
Sorry. Oh, you can't hear us at all?
Barely.
Oh. Well, they were having problems with the telephone system, and that's why we were late starting. Maybe that.
Okay. Well, I was going to relate some incident I had on the road.
Love it.
And that was.
Can you tell us your first name first?
I'm Betty.
Hi, Betty.
Hello. I was on my way to Kansas, and I was pulling a trailer fully loaded, and I heard a thud, and I looked out my window, and my car was rolling past me.
Oh.
And I was just saying, oh, Jesus, don't let it cross the median. And finally, it just teetered out and fell in the median, and I started pulling over slowly, and the trailer continued to stay up. It didn't fall, and it didn't jackknife or anything like that. And so I came to a full stop. And I got out to look, and when I went back there, it wasn't just the tire came off, but the lugs broke loose.
Oh,
and this was on an Easter Sunday, and there was nothing open anywhere.
Oh.
And about an hour later, this guy came by with his little boy. They were just coming back from church, and he stopped and asked if he could help. And I said, I don't think so, because I lost my lugs and everything. And he said, well, I think I might be able to fix it. Well, as it turned out, this guy was a welder, and he had a welding truck with him.
What are the chances of that happening?
Wow. Very, very small. And anyway, so he went home and got his truck and came back and had a compressor on it. He jacked that thing up and wired that wheel on there somehow or another, and he hauled me back to his shop. Then he wasn't going to charge me anything. But, of course, I insisted on paying him. But y'all were talking about joy a while ago, and I was just wondering, about the week y'all had your last show, the Friday before that,
mm-hmm.
there was this sunset that was huge. I was in Texas driving down Interstate 35, and it had a double rainbow around.
Oh, wow.
And
oh.
The center of the sun reminded me kind of like of an egg yolk, and it was pulsating. And it was just, it was huge. I mean, the sunset was just huge, bigger than I had ever seen. And it was just almost orgasmic. I mean, I just had to holler in my car because it was just so intense. I just wondered if anybody else might have seen that.
I didn't see it, but I'll say one thing to you, Betty. I think there was a message in that.
I do, too.
I do, too.
And,
because,
and then, Carolyn.
What'd you say?
And then a week after that, I had this dream, and there were rainbows all over the sky.
Mm.
They weren't full rainbows. They were like a quarter. But they were everywhere in the sky. You could see north, south, east, west, and above.
Oh, how awesome.
So I don't know what to make of that, but I mean, it was just kind of interesting.
Well, what I would suggest that you do, Betty, when you go to bed at night, pray. This thought goes out to your higher mind, you know, that you believe that there's a message and you want to understand more completely what the message was.
Yeah.
When you go to bed. And then do you do a dream journal? Do you have like tape?
Sometimes I do. Especially when it's something like that just catches my attention.
Well, get your little dream journal and put it next to your bed. Go to bed at night, and what you're doing is programming your mind that you are going to remember your dreams, and you want an interpretation of what that dream was with the rainbows and the rainbow you saw, what you saw, what that message was for you, because it is definitely a message for you.
Just for you. That was a message.
That's what I was thinking, Caroline. I don't think it's just a message for me.
No.
I think it was to the world, and I think that sunset was a message to all of us.
Yeah, I agree. It's a message because many people did see it.
Yeah.
They may not all call in on this program, but there were quite a few people that saw that.
I'm surely somebody else saw it. I mean, you couldn't miss it. So, well, I'm gonna get off and let somebody else get on because I can hardly hear y'all anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry, Betty, that you
can't
hear.
That's all right. Probably my phone.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, wasn't that beautiful? What a beautiful story.
It is very beautiful, and I've had some experiences with rainbows. Have you had any experiences with rainbows?
Yes, I have.
Well, I'll tell you an experience with mine. And I know that rainbows is one of the things that Mother Mary works with. I'm sure other people do also, but my two experiences with rainbows was when Mother Mary was working with them. And I was on a beach, and there was a rainbow in the sky, but it was behaving very unusual. It was not a usual rainbow. You know, a rainbow starts at one end and is like a half circle, goes to the other end, and this is what you usually see. This rainbow started at one end, went to the other end like a rainbow usually does, and then it went back. It went back and forth like a fan opening and closing. And I knew something was going on, trying to get my attention, and so I focused on it, and I thought about it, and I asked who was trying to get my attention, and it was Mother Mary. And she just wanted me to be aware that she was there. She had no message other than that. It was, I guess, to honor her presence and just to know that she was with me.
Beautiful.
So what is your example? What's your story with a rainbow?
Well, the last experience that I had with a rainbow, my husband and I were coming home from, I don't know, remember where we were coming home from, but it was once we got south of Washington, I don't know whether we had been to Philadelphia or where we'd been, but we were coming and we saw this huge storm ahead of us, and we actually, you know, got into the storm, and the storm was sort of, we were going south, so the storm was on the left side of the highway, and the sun had come out on the right-hand side of the highway, so there was this rainbow, and the rainbow followed us all the way from about Dulles Airport all the way down to Charlottesville. Wow. It just kept moving with us. There was never an end at either end. You could see it going down kind of behind the trees, but as we moved, it moved.
That's amazing.
It was absolutely, I mean, there were several times that I just had to, you know, say, please stay in the right lane.
Mm-hmm.
Because you started looking at it and you could feel the car going over towards the rainbow. It was, it was really amazing. And against the backdrop of the dark sort of bluish gray sky, and the storm, and to see the rainbow popping out, with the sun going down, as we were coming down south on, 29 was just, neither one of us could believe. We kept saying, we have to pass it at some point, and we never did.
That is amazing.
I know. It was just, I just thought, a continuous rainbow for however many miles that is, 60 miles from Dulles to Charlottesville about. Oh, it was just something. And then we got into the storm itself, and, you know, the rainbow was gone because we were into the tail end of the storm. But it was really amazing, and I just kept just watching it going, thank you for this beautiful gift. I don't know what it meant, or I didn't even ever ask that. I just kept sitting there and just awe,
mm-hmm.
and joy at how beautiful it was.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
I was sitting here listening to what you were saying. I could repeat everything that you said, but I was also mentally asking the cherubim about this rainbow that Betty was talking about.
Oh, good.
And there wasn't time to get much of an answer other than what they said was, this was an announcement to the world that that light that was coming through was God's energy. And that is what was being announced to the world, that God's energy is coming to this planet.
Wow. That God's energy is coming to the planet.
Well, yes, this, you know, it has been coming since 1999. It has started more intensely. And at the present moment, this energy is perhaps the more intense that it's been. It's like building up and building up. And as I see it, the rainbow is like the two rainbows was like an exclamation mark to give notice to the light. This is God's light. We are in a period of time right now where energy is coming from source. That is the thing, one of the big things that's making a change in individuals' lives. And I suspect that everybody did not notice that rainbow. The rainbows were up there for everybody to see, but those people who were involved in that process noticed it. Because it's up in the sky doesn't mean that one necessarily notices something.
Oh, absolutely. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, but I also, I felt when she was telling it that it was sort of like a joyful announcement.
Mm-hmm.
That God's love and light were coming to earth.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that we're in a real period of grace.
Indeed, we are.
And that everybody can tap into that period of grace and forgiveness and love, and potential.
Absolutely. I have a little story about a miracle that happened in my life, and I don't know that I told you this. I might have. We had bought, my husband and I were driving in a car. We had just bought one of these little trailers that you pull. And we're all in the car, and we're pulling this trailer, and it's the first time we had pulled it. And we were going to his mother's house, who lived in New Jersey at the time. We were on the New Jersey Turnpike. And we're in the front seat, got three children in the back seat that are sleeping. We were all going to go camping. And I guess it's fair to say my husband didn't know how to use the trailer brakes. We had trailer brakes. But when you have cars that go by you very fast, or buses in particular, they can cause a vacuum between the trailer and the bus. And so what you need to do is tap the trailer brakes to straighten out the trailer to keep it aligned with the car. And he wasn't doing that. He was trying to straighten it out with the wheel. And so we had a bunch of buses that went by us. It was like six or eight buses, and they on the New Jersey Turnpike, they're pretty fast. And at this point, there is like four lanes on the expressway. And so we started out with a little bit of swing. The trailer in the back is swinging to the right side and to the left side, and he's trying to straighten it out with the steering wheel. And all that happened is the spin was getting worse.
Right.
So the trailer was now making such a big arc that it was taking the car with us. In other words, the back of the car now swinging with the trailer. And I thought for sure we were going to die. But then there was another bus coming behind us. And here we are. We're swinging back and forth over at least three lanes of the New Jersey Turnpike. That's how much we were swinging back and forth. And I'm thinking, oh, my golly, we're going to swing in the left-hand side. This bus leaned on its horn, was in the left-hand lane trying to get away from us. He was going too fast to stop. And my husband is not hitting the trailer brakes. And I closed my eyes and I prayed. I thought for sure that was the end. I thought of my children. Oh, my golly, they're not going to have an opportunity to grow up. And so the next thing I knew, we were stopped on the side of the road. The bus had gone by. The car and trailer had stopped. And I turned to my husband and I said to him, "What happened?" He said, "I don't know."
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And I said, the most natural thing in the world, "What time is it?" He looked at his clock and looked at his watch, and he says, "It's 10 o'clock. I get to my mother-in-law's house, and she is so worried. She's pacing the floor. She says, "I've been so worried about you. We had decided we weren't going to tell her about this, or she wouldn't go camping with us." This dummy doesn't have a pull. A trailer. I said, "You're worried about us. Why are you worried about us, Jean?" I said, "When have you been worried? What's going on?" She says, "Well, I've been worrying since 10 o'clock.
Oh, my goodness.
She says, "I've been doing nothing but praying for you."
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Yes, yes. So there's miracles around us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
I think a lot of them we're not aware of.
Absolutely. But one of the things that one of the gifts that I love about you, Caroline, is the fact that you see angels.
I do, and I love them.
I know.
And you know, they stay so busy.
I love angels. I hear them, but I don't see them.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Okay.
I'm clairaudient. I hear them, but I don't see them.
Oh.
And so how about for our audience, describe one of the angels that are here right now.
That's looking down on this country.
Oh, yeah, angel. You know, that's that. They're all vying for attention now.
They're going, pick me, pick me, pick me.
Well, I don't know. Pick a couple of them.
Oh, I love it.
Describe one for the audience. One that's got their hands up, person, preferably.
Well, you know, the angels are very much like human beings in the fact that they're all different. They come in all shapes and sizes and all forms, and I don't actually see them, except right now, they're all showing me themselves in clothing and wings, just because that's the way most people, I think, expect to see them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't normally see them with wings. Every once in a while, I will. I've had one of my guardian angels actually put her wings all the way down around me and just envelop me in the wings.
Oh, how beautiful!
One time when I was right after my brother died, when I was really, you know, going through that grieving period, I was just enveloped in these beautiful angelic wings that just was such a comfort. But I see one right now who has long brown curly hair and green eyes, and she has some freckles on her nose, and she has a beautiful white dress on with a green silk scarf sort of around her waist. It's not like a belt as much as a scarf that's been folded up and tied in a beautiful bow around her. And then her gown falls all the way down to what would be the floor if she were standing on the floor, but she's not. And she's barefooted. And usually, unless I'm seeing the warrior band of angels or
mm-hmm.
the soldiers in the army of the Lord, I sometimes see them with boots on because they're warriors, but most of the time I don't see angels with shoes or anything on their feet. And as a general rule, I don't see them with wings. I see their light is how I recognize them, and the energy that they project to you. They are very loving. They love to cuddle and put their arms around you, and you can't necessarily feel them do that, but they do love to hug and kiss and put their arms around you. And sometimes when I'm in the car, I'll call everybody. When I get in the car and I'm driving somewhere, I'll say a very short little prayer, and mine has always involved, I would like all of my angels in here with me, all my guides and masters. I choose to have no speeding tickets, no car problems, and no accidents today, and I want everybody on the highway to see me.
Yes.
And then I will put my hand out to the right and hold my palm up and go, okay, everybody, y'all all on board? And I can feel them all touching my hand.
I love it.
Yeah.
Now, and this particular angel that you were talking about with the green eyes,
mm-hmm.
does she have a particular job to do? What's her work with humanity?
It's very interesting. She has a wonderful sense of humor, and that's one of the things that she used to do. Is she was here because she is one of the angels who comes and helps us remember our sense of humor when we're doing the program.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah. I don't know why, but when I do see angels with freckles on their nose, they usually do have a good sense of humor. And she's saying that she's just nodding her head and smiling and saying that it's not like she does tricks or anything like that, but it's just sort of a reminder, tweaking our sense of humor so that that comes, so that things don't get too weighty.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's tell her thank you, because she's doing great work.
I know, she is. She's very, very excited. The angels are just, they're just so delighted to be able to help us, and they cannot help us if we don't ask them.
Important message.
It is.
Yeah, it's something that we really need to remind people to ask
exactly.
for assistance from your angels.
And there are all kinds of angels. And by that I don't mean in terms of color, shape, and size, but what their actual strength is. And I think I told this story on the radio maybe last time or the time before that about needing a mechanical angel in the car.
Yes.
There are mechanical angels, there are plumbing angels, the angels, some of them have been here many times, some of them were here in their past lifetime as a plumber or an electrician or a mechanic, and they've gone to the other side and decided that they want to be in the angelic realm for a while before they come back, or whether they come back or not, and they can help out. So there are times when, you may need a electrical angel to come in and help you fix some electrical problem. And I call on them when there's nobody else around, that can help me with a particular problem. I'll say, okay, I need a plumbing angel here right now.
Tell me, Caroline, is there another angel there with their hand up?
There are quite a few of them.
Can we pick another one?
Okay. Now, this one is androgynous, which the angels actually are. They're not necessarily male or female.
Mm-hmm.
They're usually androgynous, but they show up to each person as the person expects them to show up.
Right.
So if you think all angels are girls, then they're all going to show up looking like girls. I've got a wonderful picture of Gabriel, and Gabriel looks very much like a woman in this picture that I have from the 1890s. But I've always envisioned Gabriel personally as more masculine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the reasons why I love this picture, because I thought it helped me remember that angels are actually androgynous. But there is one here who's showing himself as a masculine angel, one who is he's a teaching angel, he's telling me. He's one who helps people when they are learning about their spiritual path. He helps, he's one of the angels that pushes the books off the shelf in the library.
I've had that happen.
I've had that happen, too. I've also had them drop on my feet in a bookstore. And I go, okay, so I'm supposed to buy this book. Just dropped off the shelf onto my feet. He's he helped nudge is the word he's using. He helped nudge you in the direction of the information that you are looking for, or and he's got a wry smile on his face saying that actually sometimes what you're looking for is not what you need.
And that's the truth.
Yeah, and so he helps you find what you need, even if it wasn't what you thought you needed. So he also, they do have a good sense of humor, most of them. I've rarely come across an angel that didn't have a good sense of humor. Not necessarily he kind of, or ho-ho-ho, but just, you know.
More serious.
More sort of a lightheartedness, maybe is the best way to put it. They are serious about their jobs, but they also have a wonderful sort of lightheartedness about doing it, unless they, you know, are really frustrated and nobody's asked them to do anything for them. I mean, they can get very frustrated about nobody calling on them to do something.
Oh, yes, I can understand that.
They can. But now this one is, I don't see him in a particular dress or anything like that. He doesn't look like a college professor, though I have the sense that he was a college professor.
Well, Caroline, one of the things that I do, I know you pray before the show, and so do I, and one of the things that I pray for is that I can present the information that God wants the people to hear.
Right.
And so I find it fascinating that we've got a teaching angel here who's nudging us.
Nudging us in the direction. As they say, they certainly understand that this is a free will universe, but they can very often put thoughts in your mind about a certain thing to say or a certain direction to take. They don't do it with great frequency. Now this one is holding his finger up to me and saying that that he does that not just with words but also with pictures. That you may see a picture in your mind's eye of a certain thing, and then that will be something that you'll bring forward as a spoken word. So they will give you a picture of something if there's a particular direction that God or the spiritual hierarchy wants you to go in. You may see that picture there. And, I mean, literally this room, your room, the radio station, and almost all of the rooms, well, I don't know why I said almost all of them. Why did I say that? All of the rooms for all the people who've been listening are full of guides and masters and angels.
Isn't that beautiful?
And they're there because they'll help people, as this one will, understand what's being said, what is meant for them in particular to hear and remember.
And remember, important thing.
Right.
Caroline, is there an angel out there that has to do with music?
Oh, yeah. Well, there are lots of angels out there that have to do with music.
Maybe touching us in some way with inspirational music. I'd like to hear from them. Because when I sit and do the show, and what's playing right now is a beautiful, beautiful piece about God and love, and I just find it fascinating that it's being played right now. And so is there someone out there among those little fellows with wings who is putting their hand up that has something to do with music?
Well, I'm afraid this is not a little fella.
I just said that to be cute.
I know. This is a harp player.
A harp player?
Yes, they all sort of parted company here, and I can see this angel who is playing the harp.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. And he says that more and more people are opening up to hearing angelic music, music that's inspired by the love and the light and the joy of the angels, all layers of angels, and some of their lightheartedness as well. And yes, there are lots of members of the spiritual hierarchy who have to do with helping composers now write music, which is more in keeping with the kind of music that inspires you.
Yes.
As far as your spiritual development, and also awakens your brain, your mind,
mm-hmm.
and your heart to the love and light of God. And so a lot of the music that's been written in the last, in the last 20 years has been divinely inspired by the musical, interesting, he just called himself one of the musical band of angels.
Love it.
Yeah. And he's telling me that one of the things that they have done for thousands and thousands of years since we decided to die and leave our bodies is that they play music as we are dying to help guide us.
Oh, my goodness. How beautiful.
And to the other side, and that sometimes people hear it and sometimes they don't, but they're always there
mm-hmm.
playing the calm, beautiful, the calm, peaceful, and loving music to help with people as they transition.
Mm-hmm. What a beautiful thing.
Isn't that awesome?
Really?
That's really, really fantastic.
While we're talking about angels, hopefully our audience is finding this as fascinating as I am. Are there angels who work with movie makers, people who are making inspiring movies?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know that.
I know, but I felt like the audience might want to know it.
Well, you and I both know it because we know that we get inspiration for our writing from the angelic hierarchy, and so they also inspire producers, directors. They're inspiration to everybody in all different walks of life. And they do inspire you. You know, we all know that we've had moments when we've all of a sudden had this really beautiful thought or really beautiful sentence come to us when we're writing, or really beautiful song or change to a song. Those are inspirations that come from the angelic realm.
You know, something that occurs to me while you were you were discussing this, is that when we start on a project, that what we need to do is call on those inspirational angels to come and help us with it.
Of course. Those creative angels, bring those on in, help them create this script, this poem, this, what, you know.
Book or whatever it is that you're working on.
Right. This music. And I think sometimes there are people who write inspirational music or who paint inspirational pictures who are not necessarily aware of how they're guided to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But they are, you know, they're inspired by their guides and masters and angels. And at some point they'll realize that.
I would agree with you, but I think it would be more helpful to realize that you are being inspired and call them in and work more consciously with them.
Oh, yes, and they love to do that. And they love for you to say thank you.
Oh, thank you for telling me that, Caroline. Yes, gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
It's something we don't always think about, yet as human beings, we love to hear thank you for anything that we do. And I'm so glad that you brought this up because they do also. All of our guides and you know, our guardian angel and the angels that work with us, they want to hear thank you also.
Right, because it is an acknowledgement that you're aware that they're there and they're working with you, and they get very excited. They jump up and down and go, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's why I happen to mention we need to consciously know that we're working with them so that we can do these things like say thank you and feel the peace and the blessing that comes with this.
Right. And then, you know, once you start not only calling on them to come and work with you, but being grateful to them for doing that, sometimes you have to be careful.
What do you mean careful?
Well, you have to tell them you don't want them to wake you up with a new idea for a song or a book.
Right. In other words, we work from 9 to 5, huh?
Right, exactly. So, you know, at night we want it to be peaceful and calm and we'll sleep and let our bodies rest and talk to me about it in the morning.
I have a question, Caroline, because I'm feeling that this is true. The newborn infant, there's a special realm of angels that work with newborns. Can we discuss this?
Sure. Why don't you tell me what you know about those?
It's not that well, maybe there's a part of me that knows this. What I'm seeing is a special group that works with newborns. And, oh, golly, they're so happy with their work. And what I'm seeing here is they look like little cherubs to me.
Yes, they do.
There is such joy and love. I don't know how to explain this. The older, the more mature jobs that we're doing, when we get older, there is expected a certain responsibility as human beings. In other words, we're supposed to be responsible and do all the things that we're supposed to do. But these little newborns in their, oh, what it is, I can see this now, this new soul came from the higher realms. I see them. Oh my goodness! I see these newborn souls coming from the higher realms, and they're connecting with these little cherubs as they're coming down.
Oh, there is this acknowledgement between this new soul coming into the body and the little cherubs that are working with them after they get here. Oh, it is so sweet.
And it's sweet and it's happy.
Yes. What are you seeing about that, Caroline?
Well, I see the same thing, and that's pretty much the way I would have described it. They also help these, particularly now, they help these new souls remember where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that they help them feel their mother's warmth and love, and they help them make the adjustment, because it's a huge adjustment. It's just a really huge adjustment to make some.
Oh, Caroline, something that I just saw, it is so sweet and dear. This little baby is smiling, and it's because there are little cherub angels talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it is so sweet.
And they're around them. I have got some pictures of my grandchildren that were taken when they were outside in my backyard. And there are these little white, they're about the same size as a baby, these little white places where it looks almost like there's a little cloud that's shaped like a little bean.
Oh, what a privilege to have a picture like that.
Oh, yeah. And the baby's looking directly at it.
Wow.
You know, and you're like, oh, look, they're looking at one of the angels out there. And it's just really exciting to see that. I've seen that in a couple of pictures of the children when they were little. And you see those, the angels or the cherubs around them, you know. And they always tell you the babies really don't see very much for the first couple of months, while their eyes are adjusting to the light, and I know they're still seeing the cherubs.
Well, I would just like to tell these new mothers, when they've got this little infant and this little infant smiles, don't believe what you hear when they say that's gas.
I know, exactly.
That's not what's occurring, I don't think.
No, it's not.
Oh, that is so dear. And as they become more developed and move on to their own, experience, they're starting to experience the outer world more. They then are handed over to another group. These little cherubs take care of them. What I'm seeing is when the baby is more internalizing their understanding of the world. And then once they start looking outward and seeing the world develop around them, they're then working with a different band of angels. Are you seeing it that way, Caroline?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and you know, one of the things that occurred to me, long time ago, and I know is true for some of the children that I've known. Some of the children that I've known that have had imaginary playmates,
yes,
they're actually playing with their angel guides.
what better playmate can you have?
Exactly. You know, I can remember when my sister was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old, and she had two imaginary playmates, Jobby and Judy. And we had to set a place at the table for them every night. Yep, they each had to have their own pillow in the bed with her.
I love it.
I mean, they were so real to her. And me, you know, we just all went along with Jobby and Judy and whatever, you know, her next demand was for what they needed to have. We would, you know, go along with that. And I remember one day sitting out in the backyard with her, and she was playing in the sand and talking to Jobby and Judy, and I went,
oh my goodness, these are her angel guides she's playing with. Wow, isn't that awesome?
Caroline, we're getting up to the last 15 minutes of the show, and we haven't had anybody call in for a healing. Everybody's so interested in these angel stories. Why don't you tell people what your phone number is and how you work with people?
Okay. I do healing work, and my phone number is 540-586-2401. And I work from 9 in the morning until 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Eastern Standard Time, and I reserve 4 to 5 for emergency phone calls. And you can call work about 2 weeks out. And I do all kinds of healing work, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. And basically, I'm the witness and God's the healer. And I love doing my work, love working with God, and would love for you to call me.
That's great. I don't know why, but I'm seeing Archangel Michael's sword.
Oh, maybe he has something to say.
I don't know, other than I don't hear that he has a message, but I see a sword. The energy coming off of it is like undulating in waves. It's white with a bluish tint, and the waves, they come off the sword, and now, they're moving out. They're moving out. They're encompassing our listeners, the energy off of his sword.
Awesome.
And so, what I would like to suggest, if you're listening to my voice and you have a connection or feel that you have a connection with Archangel Michael, I want you to see if you can feel his energy. You might feel it coming down over the top of your head. It's an undulating energy. It's soothing. And as it reaches you, it would be blue. You might even look out and see blue light. Close your eyes when I say look out. Close your eyes, but like look out around you with spiritual eyes. You might see the blue of his energy. And if you are so inclined and so willing, open up your heart to that. My dear friends, he is calling his light workers. That's why he is sending this out. And he is saying to me that he could give me a message for you. But he's not doing that at the moment. What he is saying is that if you want to hear his message before you go to sleep at night, tonight, if you're so inclined, make an awareness in your heart that you want to hear what he has to say to you, and he will tell you in a dream. He is also asking me to remind you that we do a conference call for Archangel Michael, and anyone who wants to be on the conference call, and I'm having one soon, go to the website at, well, you can reach the Archangel Michael Conclave website on its own, or you could get there through carolynevers.com. Sign up for the newsletter for Archangel Michael's Conclave. Sign up for that newsletter. And if you want to be told when we have that conference call, I send out a note to people, and it's a case of calling a number. There's not a charge for it, but Archangel Michael will be there, and he will give you a message, and he will answer your questions. And I would just like to say, my friends, that is such a big gift that he is willing to come to give you a message and to field your questions. And it is because most of the people out there who believe in the light are his light workers, and he wishes to reach you. And so sign up for the newsletter at the Conclave. I'll let you know. I'm planning on a conference call soon, and if you want to be on board, just let me know. That's all I can say about that. Could you see that, Caroline?
Of course. And I felt it coming into my heart immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Really beautiful.
Well, we have another 5 minutes or so. Perhaps you can explain what it was like to you, and I'll explain what his energy was like to me.
Okay, well, I felt it as undulating, as you described it, energy, blue, because I always see his energy as white light with blue in it, and it just came right into my heart and went throughout my body, so that it was like my heart was beating with the pulse of the energy as it was coming through my body.
That's beautiful. It came to me through the top of my head, down through my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still feeling it. It's still there. And what it is turning into now is pink, at least for me. I'm seeing pink. And that pink is, for me, is taking the form of a heart. He's sending his love. So I guess all of this angel talk that we were doing piqued his curiosity. The big guy decided to come in and send out a little message. It's like, hey, I'm one of these angels here. I want to be recognized.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I would like to thank you, Archangel Michael. Would like to thank all of your other dear friends for being here with us. Caroline, we're not going to be able to take a call if somebody decides to call at the last minute. But
no. And didn't Don tell us to stay on until
yes, planning on it. But I thought
okay.
Maybe for the rest of the show, I just feel inspired to talk more about angels. I think since we have spent the last hour talking about angels, let's take the next 9 minutes and talk about them.
Okay.
I want to ask about people who are trying to overthrow a vice. Maybe overthrow is not the best word. To rise above a challenge. Oh, I feel so inspired to talk about this, because we all have challenges out there, whether it's a challenge just to stop smoking, whether it's a some other challenge in your life. Let's talk about the angels who work with us when we're trying to overcome a challenge, and to call them in, because this is a different group of angels. What are you seeing, Caroline?
These angels have a great determination
mm-hmm.
to really be successful,
mm-hmm.
Not in the competitive sense of successful, but in the context of helping you be successful in overcoming something like smoking or drinking or taking too many medications or being impatient. I mean, it doesn't matter really whether it's a physical or an emotional or challenge that you need to overcome, but they are certainly willing to help you sort through and stick to a plan, which they will also help you with to overcome something.
I'm seeing them, they're showing themselves to me as being larger.
Yeah.
This is, they're showing themselves as a larger angel. Now, I suspect because they're working with greater powers here. And they're a little bit more serious than some of the others that we've looked at. And you're talking about determination.
Mm-hmm.
They're not exactly a warrior band like you think of the warrior bands. It's not exactly that, but it's they have a mission. It's like they have a mission like a warrior band does, but they're working differently. I like that word determination, and I'm being reminded that call them in. We're not thinking in terms of this group of angels when we have a challenge to call them in. What I'm hearing is that people aren't working closely enough with them, that they're thinking that this challenge is something that they have to do alone. They feel alone. And there's a great deal of help here from this group. I'm not sure I've heard that much about them before, Caroline, so maybe that's why they've come forth and we can talk about this.
I'm sure it
to
is.
Make people aware that there is this kind of angel.
Uh-huh.
Do you have anything to add to it?
Well, I have to admit that I wasn't really aware of them in this sort of context either, because I have to admit I haven't called on a particular group when I've had a challenge. So I've just called on my guardian, individual guardian angels and guides and masters, and yet there's a whole different group here that's ready to jump in and help you when you have a personal challenge.
They're showing themselves to me as a male, and I'm seeing one in particular. A lot of strength in the persona physically from, I mean, not that they are physical, but as he's showing himself to me, and I see this wide belt, not cloth, like metallic. Doesn't exactly remind me of a warrior, but one of strength. I tell you what it reminds me of is those belts that they give to wrestlers when they win the crown.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see that. It's almost like they can carry the determination and strength that you don't have to you.
Mm-hmm. That's their gift.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And help you have the strength and determination that you need to be a steel magnolia.
So, they're our steel magnolia angels.
That's right, they are.
My darling, we have to say goodbye to our friends out there. Why don't you give your telephone number one more time, and I'll give my website.
Okay. My telephone number is 540-586-2401. And I say thank you to all of you and blessings.
And my website is www.carolyn.evers.com. And thank you for taking this walk with us. It went in a direction I wasn't expecting, but then the angels inspired us. This last hour has been about angels.
That's right. And it's beautiful.
Yes.
They all are.
Goodbye, my friends.
Goodbye and good night.